and welcome back to the Elite Takeover podcast, where today we will be talking about the final farewell of The Undertaker. The best versus the best. It is Survivor Series, the one time of year where the brands go one against the other, which is total nonsense and I wish they wouldn't call it that, but...
the best of the best.
Yeah. What a show tonight. What a show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're a bit... It's hard doing this straight off the show tonight. It's a very emotional show. But I am your host, Aiden, as always, joined by...
Raph, and I'm a little bit teary, so it's yeah, all good.
It's emotional. We're not going to go for the plugs. You know what to do. Subscribe, like, follow, all the nonsense that you know you should do. Helps us a lot. But let's get straight on to the final farewell of The Undertaker here tonight. The main event. So I saw someone saying about... I think it was Sean Ross Sapp, who said there was apparently a bit of a discussion about what was going to be the main event tonight.
Yeah.
I hope he meant matches, because there was no way this had to be the main event.
Yeah.
Like this, yeah.
You wouldn't be able to have another match after this.
No.
Hell no.
So we have all the legends come out, all of the long-term friends or long-term rivals of Taker. I'll list through them quickly. It doesn't really matter too much. Shane O'Mac, Big Show, JBL, Jeff Hardy, who had a Taker-inspired face paint, Mick Foley, The Godfather, The Godwins, Savio Vega, Rikishi, Kevin Nash, Booker T, HBK, Ric Flair, Triple H, Kane. They all came out, gave each other a little bit of a pat on the back. And we got into a promo package for Taker going through his career.
Yeah.
And then everyone's gone, and in the center of the ring is Vince McMahon, looking a bit emotional and struggling.
It was really weird to see him like that.
Yeah, struggling to get his words out, but...
yeah. Yeah.
I didn't write notes for this bit because it was a bit too... I just wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
But essentially, he thanks Taker for his 30 years of scaring people.
Friendship and yeah,
all this stuff is lovely. And then he calls out Undertaker. And we start off with the Tesla coils, which have been sitting there all night. It's powering up.
I've only just noticed. I noticed them, I think, on like on Drew and Rome and only on their match. That's when I noticed it.
So we get a Tesla coil and then we have the main theme of the Undertaker song playing through kind of essentially like...
a synthesizer.
Yeah, a synthesizer. They can't say
it. I don't know how you say it. Is that it? A synthesizer? Yeah.
No, that's not it. But you know what we mean.
Yeah.
Synthesizer. Synthesizer. Synthesizer.
Is it?
Yeah, not synthesizer. That's not it at all. Synthesize.
You get the idea.
Playing through the main riff with the electricity going off, hitting the coils and shooting off the electricity towards the Taker logo in the center.
Yeah, it was a really cool effect.
It's really nice. Really, all this is really lovely.
Yeah.
Like, this is the perfect send-off to Taker.
Yeah. No need for match, no need for anything, but him coming out, saying literally like 5 or 6 words and living, but which took like 15 minutes.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
But it was just so like, it was a perfect ending.
Yeah. He does his entrance. There's so much fire. There's so much electricity. There's loads of just stuff everywhere. He gets down to the ring.
Graveyards on the screens.
Yeah, graveyards on the screens. And he comes down. He looks like he's about to walk up the stairs, but he's stood onto a platform that raises him up.
Yes.
Raises him up all the way to the top of the
turnbuckle.
Yeah. Where then you see all the fire around him again. See all the flames and all the smoke and everything. He gets in the ring, covered in smoke.
Yeah.
Doesn't take his hat off.
It takes ages to start to speak. Like you hear
he really takes it in.
Piped up chants of like Undertaker and Thank You Taker and all those things. Yeah. And he just takes his sweet time just in the ring.
I wish he'd had a crowd.
Yes.
And it makes me think he might do this again because of the crowd thing, but I don't think he should. I think this is perfect. Obviously the thing is he'll get his Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
and he'll
exactly.
get his moment there because exactly. they should hold off his Hall of Fame until they have a WrestleMania with loads of people.
Yeah.
And obviously this year they still have to do the Hall of Fame for last year. They still have all those guys.
Yeah.
So the next year, just do Undertaker then. and he can be the headliner. He gets his moment where he comes out of WrestleMania,
yeah,
and he can be Undertaker for a second and get all the applause, or he comes out as Mark Calloway, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
he still gets his moment with all the people.
Yeah, just having people there cheering him on.
Yeah, be lovely. But he says that over, it's been 30 long years, and it is time to say rest in peace to the Undertaker.
And the Undertaker's put so many people to sleep.
Yeah.
And this, it's time to put the Undertaker to sleep. And he just leaves.
Right.
Well, not leaves.
He doesn't just
yet.
Leave. No. He doesn't just leave. He goes down on his knee to do the pose that he does. And
I'm
then
talking so solemnly.
It's an emotional thing.
I know.
It's emotional. You just don't want to face the emotions.
No.
You don't want to cry again.
Cried like a baby. Couldn't stop.
Gets on his knee, puts his hands up, and then you see a hologram of Paul Bearer holding the urn. Just lovely. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. stuff. And you see the tears going down Taker's face. Like, he's so covered up, he hasn't taken the hat off at all.
I think that's when I actually, like, started crying, yeah. was when I saw him being emotional.
You just see the tear through his beard.
Yeah.
And then walks to the back, puts his hands up last time, and he leaves, and that's the end of the show.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He was just so silent, just with his music playing, and then, like, when he was in the ring, he was just, like, with the gongs.
Yeah.
The gongs kept playing at the very end, and then he was just walking away, and then music starts again. So it was, like, such a quiet, like, moment, but then at the same time, just so...
It was lovely.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
I'm so glad. I didn't need to have a match. Didn't have to
have
anything.
I'm so glad. When all the legends were coming out, and when there was like 20 people in the ring, I was getting so anxious about him having another match. I was getting so anxious about Randy Orton coming out and just RKOing people.
Yeah.
I was not. But when Vince came out and Vince started talking, I was like, this is real. This is proper. And it should be as it is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Undertaker.
Thank you, Taker.
But let's move on to the rest of Survivor Series Woo-hoo! Tonight. This wasn't just a sad, solemn affair of yes. The Undertaker. This was a very good show, actually.
Yeah,
surprisingly so. I didn't think it was going to be good as it was. Because obviously it had a lack of storylines going into mm-hmm. it. But I think the actual in-ring work lifted it up. And yeah,
and
everything
the further
was...
we got into the actual pay-per-view, yes. the better it got.
Yeah, and nothing was bad. Everything yeah. was average to above, let's yeah. say. I don't know if anything was really average either. Most things mm-hmm. were kind of above average. Yeah. But let's start off with the pre-show Battle Royal. Oh, apologies. Before the Battle Royal, we had a little bit of a segment on the kickoff show. The 24/7 championship was on the line. It was very important stuff here.
Yes.
So, R-Truth comes out to celebrate 30 years. It's been 30 years since someone debuted at Survivor Series. The gobbledygooker. Out comes the gobbledygooker. He's... happy gobbledygooker, and he rolls up R-Truth to go and actually I take it back to Zawa comes out with a ninja dressed as yes. a referee, and then the gobbledygooker gets a quick roll up on R-Truth, and the ninja referee counts to three, and the gobbledygooker is your new 24/7 champion and then he shouts out really loud. They can't really shout, but it's very clearly Drew Gulak who was shouting, and then they go to run away, but he loses his shoe as they're running away, and then the camera keeps focusing on them far too long, and they run away, and then they just start walking and don't care anymore, but the camera's still filming them in the distance.
It's funny.
That's entertaining. And then like, we'll do this now because it's all pre-show nonsense essentially. Later on in the night, we're backstage with the gobbledygooker again. Drew Gulak, who's apparently got a love now for birdseed. That's the word. Yes. I couldn't remember what the word was. And there's loads of birdseed on the floor, and he goes to the end, and there's a massive pile, and he's like throwing it up in the air, being like, yay, yay.
Food.
And then out comes Tozawa from the bin behind, and he's like, him with his ninja referee again. He's like, oh yeah, let's get the roll up. He gets the roll up on Gooka, new 24/7 champion Tozawa. And then, of course, in comes R-Truth with the bag of birdseed and hits Tozawa over the head with the bag of birdseed, rolls him up, 1, 2, 3. Gets so my biggest question, back. Why did the ninja ref count the counter? Why did the ninja referee count it?
I don't know. I was wondering that as well.
He was a ninja referee. He was Tozawa's referee. Friend. He's Tozawa's referee. Why would he count it for anyone else?
It's his
makes
job.
No sense. But it's not his job. He's a ninja. Unless he was a referee wearing a ninja costume. But that was never... But also Drew Gulak was dressed as the Gobbledygooker. Yes. So I hope Drew gets more his 24/7 championship reigns given to him. He deserves them. but yes, the pre-show battle royal. Pretty fun stuff. Neither of our people were in this. I thought Mustafa Ali and you thought Big E.
I thought Big E.
Which was a silly decision for both of us because neither of these guys were on the show. Big E was very briefly, but not in an important way.
No.
So we get this started. Everyone's in the ring. Rey Mysterio gets an entrance, comes out with Murphy and Dominic. And then The Miz gets his entrance. Morrison comes out. And then about 5 minutes later, they play Morrison's music. They really got the timing wrong on that one. It was very funny. Yeah. We get things started off very quickly. Dominic manages to eliminate Ms. Morrison very quickly into the match. Surprisingly, you would have thought Morrison would have lasted longer. There was a nice moment where Rey and Kalisto went after each other.
Yeah.
Which was nice. I don't think they've ever had a proper thing in WWE.
They actually looked nice. They worked fine.
It worked well together.
5 seconds.
But I guess the thing is Kalisto was always supposed to be. He's one of the many, many, many new Rey Mysterios WWE have tried to make over the years, or the new Latin star that WWE have tried to make over the years, and it's never worked out for them. Her business then stop this and start attacking Cedric and Shelton. Cedric then uses this to eliminate Kalisto. Rey Mysterio sets up Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, looking like he's going to go for a double 619, but Dolph Ziggler gets out of it, super kicks Rey Mysterio, and Rey Mysterio is out. Very early on in this. Very, very early on. That was a surprise, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It worked well, though. I think the Battle Royal was actually booked basically perfectly.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily too happy at the time, but I'll explain why at the end. Murphy goes to look for revenge on Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. They're kind of fighting for a while. We go over to Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, who are fighting. Garza manages to eliminate Carrillo from the top rope. The Hurt Business then team up on Garza, get rid of him. And then Ricochet runs wild for a second. Him and Cedric have some really nice spots on the apron.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricochet manages to hit a suplex onto the outside on the apron, which then makes Cedric roll off and he's eliminated. And then Shelton runs in with a huge knee, knocking Ricochet off. After this, Apollo comes in and, of course, eliminates Shelton because Apollo Crews and the Hurt Business, they'll never be finished.
No.
We'll be 10 years. It'll be 5 years in the future. Apollo Crews and the Hurt Business, they'll still be going at it.
Yeah.
Robert Roode finally manages to eliminate Murphy. They've been fighting in the background throughout all of this. I think I should eliminate Murphy, which kind of a surprise. We thought maybe Murphy would win this.
Yes.
At that point, that seemed like kind of the best choice, especially after his big win over Seth.
Exactly.
It felt like a good way to continue the momentum, but that wasn't where all of the momentum was going in this match. Dominic Mysterio came and then eliminated Roode, eliminated Ziggler. Dominic was on fire, his third elimination of the match. And then Shinsuke Nakamura eliminated Apollo Crews. I think they had a nice bit. I don't really remember.
I can't remember.
It was a long time ago now. I ended up just writing eliminations down after a while. Jeff and Shinsuke ends up going after each other, and then Shinsuke managed to be eliminated by Jeff, and then Jeff managed to eliminate Elias as well, leaving us with our final four.
Which made me very happy that we didn't, because at one point we were both like, oh, it's going to be Jeff and Elias at the very end.
Yeah, that was the worry. Yeah. I was like, I don't want that at all. No. Not that there's mass in the slightest, because they didn't even count up like the wins between the brands in this. Yeah. So this was kind of a pointless thing. Hey-ho. So Chad Gable, Dominic Mysterio, The Miz and Jeff Hardy were our final four. The Miz and Jeff Hardy, Miz has a little word with Jeff and they're like, okay, let's go. And they decide to go and team up against the younger guys.
Yeah.
And then they go after Chad and Dom. Chad Gable manages to get Jeff over the top rope. Dominic Mysterio goes after The Miz and he looks like he's about to get him. Here's a 619, gets Miz to the outside of the apron. He's trying to get him off. Miz ends up landing on the apron And Dominic runs to do a drop kick to the Miz to knock him out of the ring. Miz, though, while this is going on, rolls slightly back in the ring and then rolls back to the apron position. So Dominic does the drop kick, but the Miz hasn't been eliminated because the Miz rolled back into the ring beforehand. Then we get an really awesome ending sequence with Chad Gable and Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
Really good, this. Yeah. I want to see a match between these two now. It'd be really good stuff. Chad's doing his like typical Olympian suplexes all over the place, just keep continuing his hold on Dominic. He tosses him around. Dom ends up getting out of it and goes for a 619, but Chad ducks out of it. He goes for his rolling suplex, so he does the roll through, and then before he hits the suplex, Dominic manages to get out of that, gets Chad back in the position for the 619, hits the 619, and then manages to chuck Chad Gable over the top rope. Dominic thinks he's won, but then, of course, the Miz comes back in, throws Dominic over the top rope, and the Miz wins. So at the time, the only thing that bothered me about this was I thought Pat Murphy should have been in Dom's position. But actually, this makes, like, thinking about it further, it makes so much more sense. Because the Miz was so obviously not eliminated.
Yeah.
It's such a rookie mistake.
Yes.
It's a rookie mistake of Dominic to not realise and not see the fact the refs all went, no, he's not eliminated.
Yeah.
It's a really rookie mistake of him. And that's what fits, I think. It fits Dominic being in that position because he...
Yeah, 100%.
He's the rookie. He's a rookie. He got the most eliminations in this match and he was the star of this match, really.
Yeah.
But it was great to see Chad Gable getting a feature position as well.
Yeah.
It's nice for the Miz to get a win. You can't complain about the Miz getting a win. He has missed the Money in the Bank after all. Got to make him look kind of good. We get a little backstage segment before we get to the main show with Kevin Owens and Baron Corbin. Corbin's kind of saying to Owens, oh, what did you think of the Barrel, by the way? I didn't ask.
I really liked it. I really did like it. Yeah. Like, it was fun. It was really fun. And I was really happy to see Dominic getting like such a nice spot. Yeah. And for some reason, I'm very invested in Chad Gable for some reason. I don't know why. So I was very happy to see him by the end.
It's because of Universe Mode.
Yes.
That's what it is. Check out Universe Mode on the Elite Takeover Place channel. Cheap plug. But yes, Owen and Corbin having a little argument backstage. Corbin's essentially saying to Owens that, like, okay, look, Seth's a mess. He lost to Murphy. Otis is Otis. We don't want to trust Otis. And Jey Uso, well, he's a maniac, essentially. It's just me and you, we need to work together. We work together. You listen to what I say, Owens, and we've got this. We're going to win this, okay? Owens goes, let me think about it. Goes inside the changing room, and then Strider pokes his head out and goes, no, close to the changing room.
I thought about it. No.
And then not the best thing of the night, but it was very funny. Billy Kay came over giving Baron Corbin her CV and her headshot. I got a degree in psychology. Hey?
I got a degree in psychology. Oh, she said, as you see, I can't do an Australian accent. As you see, I've studied psychology at university.
It's just
and
very
she
funny.
Just like smiles and Byron's like, yeah, no, bye.
She's very funny. She's very, very funny. Like, it's good to see, like, this night was a great night for both Billy and Peyton.
Yeah.
In very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great night for both of them, showing two different sides of them. So we start off proper Survivor Series at Stealth. It's Stealth. It was a very stealthy night, apparently. Starting off with the men's Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
AJ and the Raw team come out. AJ coming out with his little captain's jacket, looking very nice. He starts the car promo, but he's interrupted by Riddle. And then everyone just starts to come out. We get Keith Lee's new music, which is an upgrade, but still a downgrade from his original music.
Just because Sad Day doesn't have anything to deal with Bask in His Glory or
yeah.
He Is
Well,
Limitless.
It is there a tiny bit, but the main issue is you can't really hear the lyrics very clearly anymore. So it's harder to be able to like get this again. It's not the same as it was before.
No.
It's better than the generic rubbish one he had, but
still not as good as
still.
The original.
Then Team SmackDown comes out and Seth comes out and he is a beaten man. He is empty. He yes. looks completely empty on the inside. He is devoid of anything. We start off the match with AJ and Jay starting things off and we go backstage and we see that Paul Heyman is watching this match very, very intently.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown start working on AJ. There's some quick tags. Otis manages to get in, as does Riddle. They go at it for a little bit. Riddle trying to get some submissions on Otis, but can't take Otis off his feet because he's such a big lad. Owens manages to tag in. And Owens was really good in this, even though he was only in it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He was great. In this bit, he went straight for the feet of Matt Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really went
for
his feet.
Proper stomping on his feet.
It was kind of gross. And like, it's the same kind of stuff you would see if someone was wearing shoes, but because he's not wearing shoes, it feels so much worse.
When he bumped his head on the foot.
Yes. But even when he was doing ankle locks, bare foot looked
really
so
painful.
Much worse than doing it with a shoe on. It was really good. Riddle gets the tag to Sheamus, and then suddenly out of nowhere, Rollins puts his hand out. Rollins wants the tag. He wants in. He takes the tag. Owens decides to give it to him. He goes in the ring, stares at Sheamus for a minute, turns his back, faces his team, and says, "It's for the greater good." And then he turns around, gets on his knees, puts his arms out like Jesus, and tells Sheamus to do his part. And Sheamus, well, he ain't going to say no.
Yeah.
Fella, bro kick to the face. And Seth closes his eyes and says, "Nonite." And we'll see Seth in about 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, no, we'll probably see him in the Rumble, let's be real.
Yeah, true.
We'll probably see him in the Rumble. We'll see him in like 2 months. But yes, that's going to be bye-bye to Rollins for now. He has to go be a dada. But yeah, Sheamus eliminated Rollins. But interesting character work from Rollins.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how that's going to go when he comes back. It would be interesting to see whether he's still the Messiah character when he comes back.
Or if he's just gone.
I don't know. I think he's probably going to have a change.
Mm-hmm.
It depends.
I would like him to.
I would kind of like him to have a change. The Messiah thing kind of feels like it's done now.
Yeah.
I'd like him to do something else. And like, I don't want it, but I don't necessarily want it. But if they don't have any other ideas for WrestleMania, they should do Drew versus Roman, realistically.
Yeah.
That should main event WrestleMania. That would be amazing. But if they have no other ideas, bring Seth back as a face.
Yeah.
Seth and Roman. It's been done.
That would be cool.
It's been done before, but it's not going to be a bad match.
No.
If they have no other, because like clearly, let's be realistic, at WrestleMania, I incredibly doubt they have someone they want to beat Roman by that point.
No.
I don't think they will. I think Roman's going to hold that title for longer than WrestleMania because they haven't got anyone they're building up. The only person that felt like they could maybe was Big E, but Big E is nothing.
Yeah.
He's dead in the water. Especially after, not that anything happened to him on this show, and that's the point.
That's the thing.
He's done nothing for the last 4 weeks, and he was on this show, but disappeared. Anyway, so Sheamus eliminated Rollins, so we're now 5-4. Both teams start bickering. SmackDown gets off the apron, bickering on the floor, and the Raw team have a bicker. Strowman gets bored of the bickering, tags himself in, does his little choo-choo train around the ring, takes out the entire SmackDown team, brings Corbin into the ring and shouts at Team Raw and tells them all to start being friends. And I guess this is maybe a face turn for Braun Strowman.
We all have to work as a team.
He's no longer being a heel, so maybe this is actually genuinely a face turn for Braun Strowman.
We have to work as a team.
They have to work for a team. They all end up tagging. It's very quick tags between Team Raw at this point.
Yeah.
And then Keith Lee gets the tag in, and we get Keith Lee versus Otis, the two big men. And Kevin Owens says, "Keith Lee, you can't do that," when Otis does a little bit of a pelvic thrust.
Keith Lee can do it.
Keith Lee can do a pelvic thrust. Don't be rude to Reckoning. Anyway, I won't be rude. They kind of bounce off each other for a bit.
Mm.
Bouncy. Braun Strowman comes back in, and him and Otis go at it for a little bit. AJ comes back in, gets a tag back in quickly. Otis gets the hot tag to Owens, to which Owens gets another really cool point in the match. He has a really good sequence with AJ, which was really nice and really fluid. A lot better than their stuff they had back in 2017, 2018.
Mm.
It's a lot better than all of that stuff they had. And then we get a stunner party. Owens gives a stunner to each and everyone on Team Raw, but then he gets caught by a phenomenal forearm and AJ eliminates Kevin Owens. So we're now 5-3. Straight away, Baron Corbin's back in the ring. End of days. But AJ Styles is saved by everyone else because it's kind of ridiculous. The End of Days, like, is one of the most protective finishes in WWE. I don't think it's... I think I'd have to check. But I'm pretty sure the End of Days still hasn't been kicked out of.
Oh, well.
They always find a way to get around it. Like with this.
Fair.
That was the only thing that bothered me with Owens, was the fact that I know obviously Jay and Owens have had their issues, but Jay was clearly standing on the apron and didn't break up the pinfall.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
But they didn't make enough of a deal out of it to actually be a plot point.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just felt like they were like, okay, Owens is gone at this point.
Yeah.
So Jay, you don't come and save. It's kind of what it felt like, because they didn't really film it in a way to show Jay.
Yeah.
But hey, yeah. So he hits the End of Days on AJ, but he's saved by the rest of the team coming. And then Matt Riddle gets the tag quickly up to the top. Floating blow. It still fits Matt Riddle, to be fair.
Yeah.
Riddle eliminates Corbin, getting his revenge for their feud that they had over the summer. Sheamus gets the tag in, gets the bro kick onto Jay. Well, kind of a bro knee. He missed it a little bit. But Jay kicks out. Otis gets the hot tag, and he runs wild on Team Raw. Strowman gets the tag, and Otis manages to kind of dominate Strowman for 2 seconds.
I know.
He hits the caterpillar. And he's about to go and hit the big Vader bomb, whatever Otis calls it, from the top rope.
And at this point, I was kind of like falling asleep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is probably the weakest match of the night.
Yeah. It was still good, but I kind of
like this and Sammy and Bobby are probably on the same level, to be honest. It was just a bit too predictable. It's too predictable, this match.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the action in the ring wasn't necessarily that great all the time.
There wasn't much story in the ring itself.
No, because once like they got over, but once Seth was gone, and once Strowman shouted at all of the Team Raw guys, they were all just on the same team.
Yeah.
So there was no storyline to kind of be found in here.
Yeah.
So Riddle grabs Otis's leg to prevent the Vader bomb from happening. Strowman gets him off the top rope, power slams him. Otis is now gone. So now it's just Jey Uso versus the entirety of Team Raw. Jay manages to look quite good in this section. He hits all the super kicks in the world, a massive super kick party, hits a big dive. Strowman tries to get the power slam on him, but is unable to. AJ gets the quick tag. Uso gets a super kick on him, goes for the splash, but AJ manages to be saved because Jay gets distracted by the big guy on the outside. I can't remember his name. They're giving him a name now, but I can't remember.
Ardos.
Something. Jordan. His name's Jordan in real life. He's Jordan. AJ manages to get himself over to the corner where Keith Lee gets the sneaky tag that Jay doesn't notice. Jay goes back up top to hit a splash on AJ once again, but Keith Lee manages to catch Jay Uso. Really smoothly done, this catch. He literally just lands on his shoulders, transitions it into the Spirit Bomb. 1, 2, 3. Team Raw wins. Clean sweep. No one gets eliminated. Easy win for Team Raw. They hug out and celebrate. The match was fine. It's just kind of dull compared to Survivor Series standards over the last couple of years, I would say. It's the most boring Survivor Series match I've seen in quite a while.
I just didn't get much from it, like story-wise and everything. Just was a bit, like, for me, it either has to have flips.
Yeah.
Or it has to have, like, a little bit of a storyline. At least a little bit. And after like halfway through the match, I was like, non-invested. Yeah,
the other thing is, it didn't matter. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing exactly. To know made any difference to anything at all, because of the fact that it's all.
They didn't really count.
They didn't count like who won or more on SmackDown. Yeah. It's not like we're going to go to Raw tomorrow and they're going to be like, "Yay, guys! Hey, guys! We won! We won Survivor Series." No, they're always going to move on to their separate ways and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, but anyway, let's move on to our next match of the night. We move on to the tag team contest, the New Day versus the Street Profits. The New Day are back together after a month.
Yeah,
Biggie does the intro. Yeah. They come out together, dressed up as the Gear of War stuff, because obviously they need to do the marketing for that. And it's a big deal. So
the actual like logo of them that appears in 3D.
Has Biggie in it as well.
Biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit... Okay.
It's just a shame for Big E and the New Day to be reunited so soon for nothing. I know, I understand it's a big marketing thing. I get it. But it's not really worth it in terms of storyline. And then as soon as the match starts, Big E's gone.
Yeah.
He ain't there. He doesn't come out to like see the New Day at the end of the match or anything. He's gone. Street Profits backstage, they do a promo hyping up The Undertaker, essentially. Mm-hmm. They sing The Undertaker song. They sing Shawn Michaels' song. They kill a lot of time. I don't know why it was such a lot. It was like a long promo.
Yeah, it was very, very long.
But nothing really happened. Street Profits come out. Montez Ford has an MJ glove on for some reason. He even does a little hee-hee during the match.
Hee-hee.
Yeah. I didn't really like this match that much.
I lost my attention again.
Yeah.
It's another one that I kind of like, okay, I need to get up and do something because I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, I think, I still think it's my issue with the New Day a bit.
Yeah.
There's so much of this, like the first...
I was so excited to see some comedy and like, obviously they would get into it.
Yeah.
After a bit, but I was expecting it to see a little bit of comedy and just like...
A little bit more fun between them. A little bit more actually like big double team moves, which there wasn't really any. There was a couple, but like not much.
Like them making fun of each other.
Yeah.
Like they did during the promos and stuff.
Yeah, it kind of like that friendly rivalry kind of stuff that you'd expect. But no, they start off kind of going at it a little bit. There's a nice bit where Kofi hits a trustful to the outside onto Montez Ford. Really like knocks him with his like at his leg. It's really nice though. And then Angelo Dawkins gets taken out. Then the New Day spend about the next 10 minutes working down Montez Ford.
Yeah.
They beat him down for a long time in their corner. I guess
which
like
they could have cut into half.
Yeah, this match didn't need to be as long as it was, especially since the show went like half an hour longer than
it
was supposed to go. So they didn't need to have the match be so long. They worked down Montez for a long time. The only nice bit in this bit was a bit of, the only bit of character where they really did in the match was when Kofi got on the apron, got the red cup and was sipping from the red cup while Xavier Woods had Montez in a neck lock.
Montez was very upset by it.
Yeah. We spent ages, Montez trying to get the hot tag of keep trying to get it, New Day keeps stopping him, keeps trying to get him, New Day keeps stopping him. He manages to get a big jumping DDT onto Kofi, gets the hot tag to Dawkins. He then runs wild on the New Day. And then this is when the match became good, this last 5 minutes. This last 5 minutes was good. These guys do have good chemistry.
Yeah.
Just the rest of the match didn't. Just the boring bit at the beginning didn't work. They should have been quicker. Especially after the Survivor Series match, to be honest. But Dawkins runs wild. He hits a really cool double underhook spinning neck breaker kind of thing. It was really awesome. Woods manages to escape a double team from the Street Profits, and then Montez gets hit by the Midnight Hour, but he kicks out. And it was a nice commentary where they said that the reason why perhaps he kicked out is because obviously Big E is usually the one in the Midnight Hour,
because
it's the big ending, is the bottom bit of the move, and saying without the strength of Big E, maybe that was what was lacking in this for them. Kofi's kind of upset at this point, hits three boom drops onto Montez Ford. Very aggressive boom drops as well. Sets up for a trouble in paradise, but Dawkins manages to distract him and he eats a huge drop kick from Montez Ford. They go into the big frog splash combo, but it looks like Montez has it won, but his ribs are hurting too much from all the boom drops that he's taking on him, all the beating he's taking in the match. So he can't get to the pin in time. Kofi kicks out. Montez then ducks under Trouble in Paradise, but then hits his own Trouble in Paradise on Kofi, eats a gutbuster from Woods, but Montez kicks out. Dawkins gets the surprise tag onto Montez. Woods gets caught on his shoulders and they hit a blockbuster for the win. And then post-match, they all just shake hands and hug. It was nice. And it's like the last 5 minutes was good. Just the rest of the match was a bit lacking for me.
Yeah, it dragged a bit for me.
Yeah.
And at this point, I thought Aiden was going to win his predictions.
Yes. So obviously, I was Street Profits, Raph had New Day.
Yeah.
I was very happy at this point. And then I realized my mistakes as we went on in the night.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I won, as I said, on the predictions.
Boo.
I did say I was going to win.
Boo. It's now 2-1 in our prediction contest. Boo. We have Sammy versus Bobby. We'll go through this one quickly because not much happens. Essentially, Sammy just keeps trying to run away from the match. And then the Hurt Business kind of circle him like sharks most of the time to prevent him doing it. And then whenever Sammy would be thrown in the ring by Lashley, he would kind of get the quick, cheeky advantage by grabbing Lashley as he's going through the ropes, but it would always work out badly for him.
Yeah.
Get caught up. Nice callback when he gets caught up in the vertical suplex. Sammy talks about having vertigo again, which is a nice callback to their 2018 feud. He gets the quick roll up, but doesn't get it. Sammy ends up on the outside again, pushes Cedric Alexander, hoping to get the DQ, trying to taunt Cedric into punching in, but it doesn't work out again. The only bit of hope he gets, he pushes Lashley into the ring post, but doesn't work out. He gets back in the ring, trying to take off the ring, the turnbuckle, but Cedric and Shelton stop him. Sammy tries to run away and trips himself up over MVP's foot to try and get the DQ.
Was really funny.
It was really funny. It's really well done. But MVP picks him up, chucks him back in the ring. Hurt lock. 1, 2, 3. Not 1, 2, 3. Just tap, tap, tap.
Tap, tap, tap.
Yeah. Very simple stuff. Sammy did a good job of being funny.
Yeah, exactly. And I was happy with, like, Sammy.
The match was fine. Like, Sammy was being quite clever.
Yeah.
It was just because he had...
I even thought at one point when he took the turnbuckle off.
Yeah, because he had taken... Even though he didn't get the whole thing off, he did have some of the metal exposed.
Yeah, he had, like, the tightening bit exposed. So I was like, if Bobby Lashley goes up there, then that's okay for Sammy can win it.
There was a chance.
Yeah.
And it's kind of... They did protect Sammy a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that essentially the entire Hurt Business protected Bobby Lashley the entire time, whereas otherwise perhaps Sammy's antics might have managed to get him the win.
Yeah.
But
it's okay. Like, it was better than like what I was expecting to be, which would be just Sammy getting...
I was expecting him just to get... I expected him to run away straight away, be thrown back in the ring, straight into a Hurt Lock.
Yeah.
That's what I expected.
Yeah.
And then I expected the Hurt Business to beat him up afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. We go backstage, and obviously Raph had that one. She had Bobby, because I was silly and took my heart.
Yes,
went
with
my heart and went with my bae, Sami Zayn.
And also we went a bit with expecting that they would be doing the counts of between SmackDown and Raw. That's why we kind of like changed a couple of things.
Hey-ho.
It is what it is.
Hey-ho. We go backstage to Roman's office, backstage, his personal space. Jimmy and Jay are outside, and Jay tries to defend himself, blaming the rest of the team for the fact of what happened earlier in the night. Roman is not happy. He doesn't want the excuses from Jay. He tells Jay that... he tells Jimmy to leave, but Jay to stay. He tells Jay that he lost because he couldn't control the team. They don't fear him. They don't respect him, which means they don't respect Roman, which is the most important thing. And if he can't get their respect, Jay has no place at the table and tells him to go away and leave with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Good continuation of the feud. Roman was really good here. So was Jay. So all of them really good. As you'd expect. They're great.
Yeah.
We get Asuka versus Sasha Banks, which was a lot of fun. Really fun match.
Yeah.
They did a really good job together. They had good chemistry.
Yeah. As we'd expect, kind of.
Yeah. And it was different compared to what we'd had before, which worked really well. Lots of wrestling holds in this one.
Yeah.
The beginning of the match, they kind of flip-flop back and forward between wrestling holds, trying to get in the bank stand, trying to get in the Asuka lock, but it doesn't really work out for them. Sasha manages to break this hold by working on the fingers of Asuka, which then allows the hold to be broken and she gets a backstab onto Asuka. Sasha taunts Asuka, she rolls out to the outside for a second, hold the ropes open for Asuka, and Asuka's like, oh, fine. Asuka gets back in the ring, Sasha jumps her straight away, but then we get the reverse of this situation. Asuka hits the hip attack, and Sasha ends up on the outside, and Asuka holds the ropes open for her. Nice little mirroring. Asuka kind of then goes quite wild for a bit, doing a lot of kicks. She runs in with a flying wizard, but Sasha manages to catch the knee, which was really nice. Really nice transition.
Yeah.
Counters it into an abdominal stretch, really working over the core and the arm of Asuka. It was nice. They kind of had like secondary submissions in this match. Like Asuka was doing the ankle lock, and then Sasha was doing an abdominal stretch.
Yeah.
Sasha keeps trying to get in the bank statement, but is not being able to. Same with Asuka. They both keep trying to. Asuka ends up getting throwing Sasha onto the barricade. Sasha gets up to the top and goes for a big meteora, but is caught into a code breaker from Asuka. Really nice stuff between these two. Sasha goes up top for a frog splash, but then she changes it in midair to just land because she can tell Asuka's pulling her knees up, and then uses that to then get Asuka into a bank statement, but then Asuka reverses that into the Asuka lock. And then Sasha gets outside the ropes, and then Asuka hits a code breaker on Sasha through the ropes. And then they go into a big series of roll-ups. It could have ended at any point. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Asuka rebounds off the rope. Sasha rolls through there and manages to get the victory.
Yeah.
Really nice stuff. Didn't damage either of them.
No, and that series of roll-ups was just fun.
Yeah, it didn't. Really, it was a really good match, this.
Like, it could
really
have come out very, like, clumsy and stuff, but it didn't.
Yeah.
It was actually really fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun, this match. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
And I got the win.
You got the win. Happy days for you. Happy days for you.
Yay.
And then we move into the women's Survivor Series match. Surprisingly, very good.
Yeah. I think for me, it was like the second best match of the night.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. 100%. I think so. Well, yeah, because yeah, 100%.
Yeah, Roman and Drew was the best, and then this.
Yeah, 100%. It was just fun. Lots of storytelling, which obviously the men's match didn't really.
Yeah, they brought a story. They had a story going into it, and they brought that story into the match, and they built more of a story inside of the match instead of just we're gonna dominate you.
Yeah, and like, I might not be happy with the ending, but
the ending was trash.
Yeah,
but
it is what it is. Like, apart from that, everything was great.
It was a clever ending.
Yeah.
But it would have been better. But I would have preferred for Bianca to just win.
Yeah.
It was a clever ending, though. I'll give him that.
Or have, like, a different way of ending. Like, we had so many, like...
Oh, no, I think this was the perfect end. For what they wanted to do, this was the perfect end. But I would have preferred Bianca to win.
Yes.
So we start things off. Everyone just works really well in this match. I have a lot of notes to this, so I'll try and go through them nice and quickly. Bailey and Lacey start things off. Gets the quick tag out from Natalia, who's working over Lacey. Yeah, the tags to Peyton and Bianca. Essentially, we just go through each member of the team kind of getting a tag with each other.
Yeah.
There's a little bit where Shayna and Ruby, where Shayna's doing kicks to the chest.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ruby is supposed to duck on the third kick, but instead Shayna moves up to go for the head kick. But Ruby just doesn't duck, so Shayna literally just clocks her in the head. I'm glad she was okay.
Yeah.
Because she clearly was. She was fine for the rest of the match. Yeah. But she did clock her.
It was just a little scary.
And then they go for the same move again. Then this time Ruby ducks underneath it and they move forwards. This all leads up to Nia getting the tag. All of the SmackDown team go after Nia.
Of course they do.
Beating down on Nia. Nia gets back over to her own corner and Lana gets the quick tag. Which of course upsets everyone because they've told Lana she's not allowed to tag into the match.
No.
Not allowed to. She's a bad girl. Lana and Natalia have a huge face to face. The culmination of the massive rivalry between Lana and Natalia. It's time. They go at it for a little bit. It's not actually that bad.
No.
Lana was actually
all right.
Pretty fine in this match.
Yeah.
She's only in it for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
She did a good job when she was in it. Her wrestling looked clean enough.
And even when she wasn't in it, when she was just acting, she actually did a good job acting.
She did do a good job acting where she just had to stand still.
And cry like a little doggo.
Yeah. No,
puppy eyes.
Yeah, she did a good job. I'm not going to take it away from her. I would just rather see, without being rude, an actual wrestler.
Yes.
Someone who's going to have more future in this to get the rub. But anyway, Peyton ends up getting the tag. When Lana ends up in the corner, Nia ends up shouting at Lana, as well as Shayna, shouting at her, telling her she has to stand in the corner and not move.
Like on the steps, she actually goes onto the metal steps and just stays there the entire match, just frozen.
Yeah, she doesn't move a muscle for the entire match until the end. Doesn't move a muscle. Yeah, so Peyton gets the tag and Bailey gets the tag as well. Bailey starts taking it to Royce, but tags into Belair. They have a little bit of a tag team offense here, both Bailey and Belair. Some really nice stuff. Bailey hits the elbow drop after Peyton does the thing where she holds her above her head. She did it for ages on Peyton. Drops Peyton for a snake eyes, then elbow drop from Bailey, but Lacey Evans makes the save to prevent Peyton from being eliminated. Then we go into the typical thing you'd expect in any of these matches, where we go finisher. Nia's standing tall, but Bailey manages to start to go after her, attacking the knee of Nia, taking her off her feet. Bayley looking for the elbow drop onto Nia Jax. Nia ends up on the outside. Everyone's on the outside. Bayley's gone to the top row to get an elbow drop on everyone on the outside.
Yeah.
Peyton Royce comes up to the top, grabs her, gets her for a superplex, hits a huge superplex to the outside on everyone out there.
Yeah, but it was just awesome. Went flying.
It was awesome.
Just went flying out. Oh my God. Yeah.
But more impressively, Peyton Royce then throws Bayley back in the ring, hits the deja vu, and pins Bayley.
And like,
unbelievable.
I think that was the only time that Lana actually moved. She clapped Peyton.
Fair.
She proper clapped Peyton. Oh my God. It was, yeah.
But that was great.
Great for her.
And like, that's such a big, big victory for Peyton Royce. Like, this match was great for people. It really made some people. It was brilliant. And hopefully Peyton will use this to do something with it.
Because
it was great. It's been like really impressive stuff from her. And she continues to. She continues to take it to Natalia. There's a really awesome bit where they're going through the ropes and they have the rebound. They do the rebound spot with the ropes. And Peyton manages to roll through Natalia and then roll it into a single leg crab.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice. But Natalia manages to go over to the ropes. Natalia tries to do something.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. She messes it up completely. She like tries to tie the legs.
Submission or something, but then her legs just slipped.
Yeah, I think maybe she was trying to go for the surfboard, the one where so Natalia would be lying on the floor, legs and arms up, holding Peyton above her in like a semicircle. But she messes up. She slips out of it straight away because Natalia didn't have it in the right position.
Yeah.
She then puts in the sharpshooter and taps Royce out. So 1-1. Really good though, really good. Lacey goes up top, tries to hit the moonsault, but she misses it. Natalia tries to put in the sharpshooter, but Shayna comes in to try and distract. Natalia goes after Shayna, tries to put in the sharpshooter on her, but Lacey Evans comes straight back in with the woman's right. 1-2-3, Natalia is eliminated. Ooh. We are now 4-3. Bianca goes up to the top, Shayna distracts her. Lacey and Bianca end up fighting to this. I've forgotten about this spot. It's so impressive. Lacey and Bianca here, top row Spanish fly. Just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so cool.
Awesome.
So good.
And let's say, I am so unbelievably happy that Mandy and Dana were not in this match.
Yes. 100%.
Oh my God, I'm so happy.
I'm so happy that we had Lacey and Peyton instead. Yeah. And Lacey's so much better wrestler.
Oh, yeah, she is. She's grown a lot as a wrestler.
I was so impressed with her in a good way.
Yeah.
It's so good. Her, Liv, and Peyton.
Yeah, Liv was really great in this match.
Liv was so good.
Ruby was great. Ruby's always great, but Ruby doesn't really get any opportunity to shine. She was great in this
Liv
match.
Liv looked really cute as well.
Liv looked, yes, she did.
I'm really happy that she went back to her old style. I know I keep saying this over and over again, but it just makes me happy.
Yes, we hit this big Spanish fly spot, but then Bianca is saved by Ruby and Liv. And then we get into this point in the match where essentially we have Nia Jax taking on... We essentially have Nia and Shayna versus Ruby and Liv for the next section.
Very good tags a lot.
Yeah, lots and lots of quick tags between Ruby and Liv.
Mm-hmm.
They manage to get a double team on Nia, taking her off her feet, but she manages to get the tag over to Shayna, who starts to work on Ruby. She managed to get the Kira Furuta clutch onto Ruby Riott, gets her down to the floor eventually. It takes her quite a while to get her down.
Mm-hmm.
Nia takes out Liv Morgan off the apron, which then distracts the referee, so the ref's not paying attention. Ruby at this point has rolled over on top into the pinning position, but because the referee isn't paying attention, he doesn't see the fact the pinfall is happening. But because the Kira Furuta clutch is still in, Ruby just loses complete consciousness.
Yeah.
And by the time the ref turns around and counts the two, Shayna then lets go of it and Ruby's out cold, so she just pins her.
Mm-hmm.
1-2-3. Really nice spot. Liv comes in and just wrecks Lacey Evans.
Mm-hmm.
She just pounds her head into the mat. Just kills her.
So good.
Does a really nice crucifix bomb to get the elimination onto Lacey Evans. Then we go into Liv and Nia. She keeps trying to get Nia off her feet. That's kind of her goal here. She gets her down to her feet, gets her down to her knees, But then the more damage does, Nia gets back up to her feet again. Mm. She goes for a code breaker, but Nia catches her, twists it around to a Samoan drop. And then Shayna gets around to the apron, mimics the same spot from Ruby's elimination, and prevents Bianca from being able to get over to break up the pinfall. Mm-hmm. So now we just have a 3-versus-1 situation here.
Yeah.
Bianca is upset. She's like, oh, this is going to be difficult to do. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard. She looks great. She's so athletic.
Yeah.
So, so, so athletic. She looks amazing in this. Bianca eats a leg drop from Nia Jax, which she kicks out of. Everyone kicks Nia off the top. I don't remember this spot. But she kicks Nia off the top, is what I've written. Shayna gets the tag in. She gets the quick roll up. Shayna tries for the Kirifuda clutch. Goes for the Kirifuda clutch. Bianca manages to get out of it, which is impressive enough by itself because most people can't get out of it.
Yeah.
She goes for the handstand springboard, like the ricochet Will Ospreay kind of move. But Shayna, as she's bouncing back to hit the back body drop, Shayna catches her out of midair. So good.
Cool.
Into the Kirifuda clutch. Bianca is down on the floor. She's out of it. She can't do it. But then she manages to gear herself up, get herself back up to her feet, and she's trying so hard to get over to the ropes.
She's impressive.
Yeah, she's in this for like a good 2 minutes. Because
obviously Shayna has her legs around Bianca, so it's Bianca doing all the effort from coming off the floor to standing.
Yeah. It's really impressive stuff. And also a really good way to deal with Shayna in this match.
Exactly.
I thought the way they go with Shayna was brilliant.
Yeah.
So Bianca manages to stand up, manages to get herself over to the ropes. She can't go onto the ropes. She can't hold the ropes. She can't do it. And then she gives out. She's about to fall asleep, so she falls over. But that allows her to hit the ropes, which means Shayna has to break the hold. But Shayna doesn't break the hold. She won't break the hold of the Kira through the clutch. The referee gets to the 5 count. Shayna Baszler has been DQ'd, which Shayna Baszler wanted. She wanted to just do as much damage as possible to Bianca, because obviously...
And it protects Shayna.
It protects Shayna, great. And she has Nia over there. It's absolutely fine. She doesn't need to worry about it. Nia goes to the table, goes and gets everything off the table, wants to put Bianca through it. But Bianca manages to stop her. They have a little bit of a brawl. Bianca manages to knock Nia Jax over the barricade into the crowd area. And Bianca's about to get back in the ring when the count goes to 10, just as she is about to slide in the ring.
So she gets DQ'd.
And they're both, not DQ'd, they've both been counted out.
Oh, yes, sorry.
And it's a double count out for Nia and Bianca, which means Lana is the sole survivor.
Yeah.
Like, this match was, it took the air out of the match for me when they did that.
Yeah.
It was obviously coming, but I didn't want it to.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted, like...
No, it's okay. It was a good match, but...
It was a great match.
It was such a good match, like...
It was a great match. It's just a shame, like... You can't really complain because, like, Peyton got a rub, Lacey got a rub.
Yeah, exactly.
Dakota. Dakota wasn't in this match. Liv got a rub, what's her name? Bianca. Bianca got a rub. Like, all these people got a lot out of this match. So I don't complain too much. But the thing is, like, on Raw, you know what's going to happen. Lana's going to go through a table.
Yeah.
And then we go into our main event of the night. Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre for no titles. I don't know why I was going to go into four titles. For the best of the best. Wanting to prove who is the number one in the WWE. This match started off slow.
Yeah.
It was really slow to start with. Very similar to kind of Roman and Jay's match at Clash of Champions, I would say, in terms of the speed at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from obviously Drew's a lot more of a stronger competitor than Jay was at the time. They kind of circle each other at the beginning, trying to feel each other out. And they get into the corner, start throwing huge punches. And if the referee would count to 5, they'd split it up. And then the other person would end up doing the punches.
Yeah.
They're getting more and more angry. But Roman manages to daze Drew in the corner, and then he uses this to work over Roman Reigns, continuing to work down on him. Lots of neck locks and lots of punches and elbows to the face. Yeah. He keeps on going at him. And every time Drew kind of manages to get out of it, he gets caught by something. It's the first time he gets caught by a leaping lariat, the first time he gets out of it. The second time Drew manages to get out of it, he tries to go for the Future Shock DDT, but he gets reversed into a Samoan drop. reverse back into and gets a reverse sponge robber. Drew gets out of it. He ends up in the corner trying to hit something, but then Roman catches him, gets him into the Samoan drop again.
Yeah. A lot of dominance by...
Lots of dominance by Roman, but then Drew would manage to come back and just eat it, essentially. Yeah. Then there's a really lot, really good reversals in this match.
Yes.
And some brilliant close falls.
I mean, it's so interesting.
Yeah. Roman goes for a Superman punch, but Drew manages to duck underneath it. Roman bounces off the ropes, caught into a spine buster from Drew, where they both end up down on the floor. That's later in the match. But that happens there. Drew then takes it to Roman on the outside, which Roman did to him earlier in the match, kind of mirroring what just happened. As they get back in the ring, Reigns catches Drew. Roman gets distracted, though he talks about Drew being number two, talking to the camera. And then when he comes back over to Drew, Drew hits him with a Glasgow Kiss headbutt. And then, which knocks Roman a little bit silly. Roman tries to go for the Superman punch, but he gets reversed into the future shock. Drew hits it this time. They're both down on the floor, and then Drew kips up. He has still got all of the energy in the world in him. Drew sets up the Claymore. He's in the corner. He's ready for the Claymore kick, but he goes for it. He gets caught with the Superman punch as he's going for the Claymore kick by Roman. Roman gets him into that guillotine, but Drew manages to toss him off him. Roman gets a spear, but Drew manages to catch the spear, flips him around into a Kimura lock.
Yeah, so cool.
It was like this submission was so out of nowhere. Yeah. It was beautiful submission work. Like, it really was out of nowhere. Like, the idea that like Roman Reigns would tap to a Kimura lock out of nowhere, which isn't even like anything to do with Drew in terms of a move. Like, you'd think that's ridiculous. That seems so ridiculous. But in the match itself,
it seems. I really thought so. Yeah,
you could believe that Roman was going to tap out at that moment. It was ridiculous. Really, really good stuff. Roman hits a brutal Samoan drop onto the announce table. It doesn't break. He hits the announce table so hard.
You can see that Drew is kind of like touching his neck and stuff. Like, I'm okay.
They go for it again, and then luckily this time it does break. Oh my goodness. Roman sits on the ring apron just watching Drew as Drew slowly tries to get himself back to his feet, gets himself over to the barricade, holding himself up. Roman jumps off the ring apron, spears him through the barricade.
Another very nasty
brutal spot. Brutal spear. He picks him up, throws him straight back in the ring, and Drew kicks out.
Yeah.
Drew kicks out, which is like, okay, I can understand that one. I can get that one. Roman sets up in the corner. He's ready for the spear again, but this time Drew gets the kick to the head, rebound onto the ropes, but then he's looking for the Claymore kick, but instead Roman gets the spear onto him out of nowhere and Drew kicks out.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That felt like such an ending. It felt like such an ending.
We were both like, that's it. Cool. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
That's it.
But
that was a believable, safe way for Drew to lose.
Yeah.
He kicked out. It was unbelievable.
It was a fair way of him to lose. I mean, freaking out.
Yeah, like the heart of Drew to have to deal with, to kick out of all this stuff.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe. Samoan Joe talks to Samoa Joe on the outside.
Yes.
Roman Reigns kind of tells Joe that he knows what this is like. He's been through this before. It's a nice bit of...
You know what this is.
What's the word? Continuity. Continuity, that's the word. Roman tries to go for the spear once more, but this time Claymore kick from Drew McIntyre, but Roman hits the ref on the way down.
So smart.
Because I was saying to Raph, like, okay, if Drew hits the Claymore kick, that's the only way he can win this match.
Yeah.
Because if he does, like, the Claymore kick is so protected. They aren't going to have Roman kick out the Claymore kick. They are protecting that move so much. Because, like, you look at, like, the Randy Orton feud, he never kicked out of a Claymore. Yeah. If a Claymore happened, either Randy ended up out of the ring or... it just didn't happen. Yeah. It really didn't happen.
Never happened until when he actually won the title from Randy.
Yeah, that was the only time where the Claymore actually won him the match. Because technically in the ambulance match, but the ambulance match, you also hit a punt, and that's different. It's not like he's trying to pin him.
Yeah.
So he hits the Claymore, but he hits the ref, at which point Jey Uso comes out. Jey gets on the apron. Drew manages to knock him off the apron. But then low blow from Roman, and a super kick from Jey into the back of Drew McIntyre's head. I didn't even notice the super kick, but they said on commentary.
Yeah,
I was so distracted by the low blow.
Yeah.
He got in the ring really quickly and got out so quickly, hitting that super kick to the back of the head. Superman punch onto Drew, gets him in the guillotine. Drew almost, he starts to try and get out of it. He starts to try, but then he falls down to his knees and he falls out and he falls unconscious. My goodness, this match was great.
Like, even the beginning, even though it could have been, it was a bit slow, like their intensity and like them playing with each other, just like looking at each other, just so intense. Drew kept like giving him like a smirky smile to Roman, but then Roman like smiled at him, but being like, no, you're not able to defeat me and stuff. Yeah. It was so good.
Like, they have all this hyperbole about the idea of like WrestleMania main event worthy match at the moment. They're doing so much of it, but this was a WrestleMania worthy main event match.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, all the only thing this match was missing was a crowd.
Yes.
With a crowd, that beginning section would have been awesome.
Yes.
Because everyone's so into Drew at the moment. Everyone's so into Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are perfect adversaries for each other.
Yeah.
They could.
It's so good.
I'm not gonna. They could be like the Rock to the Stone Cold of each other. Mm. They could be. I'm not gonna say they are, because that's a very bold statement to be making. But they could be.
It was so good, and like all the like the entire match was just reversal after reversal after reversal.
Yeah.
Like none of them. Like if they managed to get a hit or something, the other one would be able to get it, or one would get the hit and the other would try to go for it, but then they would reverse it. It was just,
yeah.
It was so good.
I'm fascinated to see what Drew's going to say on Raw.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the interesting thing.
I'm hoping they, and there's quite a good chance, I hope, that they will have a match again.
Yeah.
Because it would be so nice. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
They're so good.
They will do down the line. I would like it to be the WrestleMania match.
Yes, I was thinking of that.
I would like it to be.
I don't want it right now.
No, give it that gap. Give it that gap.
They can keep building it until the time comes.
Yeah. The only thing that's hard about it is the idea of getting that title off Drew.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, you have Mr. Money in the Bank. But if you were going to do it, tonight was the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's talk about the post-match quickly. So, Roman gets out of the ring, it takes him a while. Drew manages to get himself back to his feet. He gets to Heyman, gets his title, says to the camera, now he understands.
Mm-hmm.
Jay is sitting at the top of the ramp. And obviously there's the tension between the two of them after what happened earlier in the night. Roman stares him down for a bit, but then tells him to come in, gives him a hug, and he forgives him
for what happened
earlier in the night. He did well. Come in.
Yeah.
Oh, such good stuff. And like, I would love to see this again.
Roman is getting better and better, but like that story is just so simple, but so good.
Yeah. Like, even if it's like SummerSlam next year, like the SummerSlam main event being Roman and Drew, I could see that maybe.
SummerSlam, WrestleMania, any of them. It's.
I want to see this match again.
Yes.
Like, 100%. With these current characters.
And maybe like with an actual title on the line or something.
Yes. Yeah, no, it should be Drew without a title and Roman with a title is what it should be.
Yeah.
Drew is the only person currently who is on the level of Roman to be able to beat him.
100%.
There is no one else in WWE who is on the level to beat Roman Reigns. There is no one near. Even if they try to build someone, it would take them a while to do it. There's no one near.
No. Unless they brought someone from NXT, and even then,
it's
impossible.
No one in NXT is close. The only person in NXT would be like Adam Cole, but Adam Cole's so small.
Exactly.
It's not believable.
He's not,
against Roman.
Exactly.
He has to be a bigger guy.
Yeah.
Like, you could do it with Kevin Owens, but they ain't going to do it with Kevin Owens because they don't care about Kevin Owens anymore, clearly.
No. Drew is the perfect opponent for
Drew and Roman. They click. They click.
They work very well together. Yeah. And we saw it on Friday on the actual like signing of the contract, which was absolutely incredible. So they can keep building this.
Yeah, they're just great. They're both on top of their game.
So good.
Yeah. Anyway, that is all for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow for some Monday Night Raw action. See what Drew has to say afterwards. See what his next challenge is going to be. I assume it's going to be Sheamus.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But that is going to be all for tonight. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you
next time.